May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
In the epistle for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, working together with him, that's with Christ, and we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul is talking about the grace of salvation, but his entreaty to not accept the grace of God in vain applies to all manner of grace. There are two principles working here. First is the avoidance of the accepting God's grace in vain. And the second principle is the importance of being in Christ at every moment of our lives. Okay? Those are the two things Paul is pointing to right here. And these two principles complement each other. They work together. We avoid taking God's grace in vain when we live in Christ every moment of the day. It's as simple as that. So let's look at these principles. The first principle, we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. Now, as I said, that's not simply about the grace of salvation, although that is a common problem. You may remember a couple of decades ago that there was a president of the United States who was caught in some unethical behavior. I know that's not unusual among politicians, but anyway, a sitting president, what's that? But anyway, and a reporter confronted him about the fact that he claimed to be a Christian. How could he do this? And his reply was, I walked the aisle when I was a teenager. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am guaranteed salvation. Whoa! Don't remember that in the book, but okay. Okay. God's grace is not to be taken in vain. God heals, God delivers, God encourages, God strengthens. God's grace is ever present. God pours his grace upon those who walk in his love. But temptation will come. And that we need to be on guard about. We need to be alert to his presence. Let me give you an example. January 29th, 1975 is a very important day in my life. I was a sophomore in college. It's a stressful time. I was living in the Mexican ghetto. I was poor. But I was also a heavy smoker. I was up to about 4 packs a day at that point. And then on January 29th, 1975, it was late at night. I had a big exam the next day, and I realized I had exactly 1 pack of cigarettes left. How was I going to make it through the night on 1 pack of cigarettes? I mean, let's get real. So I realized also the pack of cigarettes had gone up in price. I mean, it was astronomical, 45 cents for a pack of cigarettes. I didn't have enough money to go to the 7-Eleven at 10:30 at night to get another pack of cigarettes. So I just prayed and I said, Lord, I just ask you for the grace and the strength to be able to give up this nasty habit. and I really felt the presence of the Lord at that moment. So I took the one pack of cigarettes that I had left, I crushed it, and I threw it in the trash. Now let's skip forward 6 years. It's June of 1981. I was in a place called the Episcopal Retreat Center in Flower Mound, Texas. All of the seminarians who were to be graduating were called to, in the Diocese of Dallas, were called to go out there for canonical exams. What the canonical exams were oral exams. We'd already taken the written exams. Those were called the general ordination exams. Now we had to take the canonical exams. And what that was over a period of 2.5 days. The first day, basically what it was there are 8 canonical areas or theological disciplines that they have to test you in, okay? And so there were 4 tests on the first day, 4 tests on the second day, and it was all oral. You would go and you would sit in a room, and there would be 2 examiners, 1 priest, 1 layperson, and they would grill you for an hour on theology, ethics, and scripture, and et cetera. And so we had 4 the first day, and then you had to preach a sermon to the entire gathering. And then there were 4 the second day. And then at the end of the second day, there was nothing to do. Now, mind you, we're in Flower Mound, Texas. This is before cell phones. This is before the internet. There was literally nothing to do. And the next day, all those people who had been interviewing were going to meet, and they were going to talk about, well, they were going to do that night. And then they were going to meet with us the next morning to tell us their decision. So all the seminarians are sitting out on the patio, and one of the priests walked by, and he said, "What are you guys worried about? We just have your whole future in our hands." And he plopped down a fifth of whiskey and said, "Relax." And he went on into the building. We sat there, Anyway, and my friend Joel Reed took out a pack of cigarettes. He put one in his mouth, lit it up, and laid the pack down. I reached for it. I tapped one out. And then I realized what I was doing. And I stuck that cigarette back in. I threw the pack down. He said, "You can have one. It's all right." And I said, "I don't smoke." But the stress of that moment, that's what I used to do when I would get stressed. I would grab a cigarette and I would smoke it. And the temptation was there. But by the grace of God, I didn't smoke that cigarette. Because I knew if I did, it was over. That was taking the grace of God in vain. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which Father David was preaching on last week, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. It's the grace of God. We are a new creation in Christ. The old has died. The old Bill had to die in order for the new Bill to be created in the image of Christ. Are you with me? Okay. Our old selves have died, and we need not resurrect them. And that is a temptation all too often. All right, this brings us to the second principle. To combat these temptations, we live moment by moment in Christ. Not day by day, not week by week, not Eucharist by Eucharist. Moment by moment in Christ. Paul says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're called to live in the now. Today is the day of God's visitation. There has never been a more important moment than the moment we are living in right now. time and eternity intersect in this moment. This is when we are in the very presence of Christ, not the past. We may have been there, but that's not effective now. It's not some future hope. This is the moment when time and eternity intersect. This is the moment that is most important for us, and it's right now. We don't live in the yesterday. There's nothing we can do to change that. Nor do we live for tomorrow, for we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. Heavens, I may have a heart attack while preaching this sermon, and there may not be a tomorrow for me. We don't know. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 4, verse 7, the author says, God sets a certain day, today. God sets a certain day, today, saying through David so long ago in the words, today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So when is it today? It's now. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. And when we get to tomorrow, what's it going to be? Today. I mean, it's today. It's now. Today is when you hear his voice. And you do not harden your hearts. You do not take the grace of God in vain. Today is the now. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, the prophet says, seek the Lord while he wills to be found. Call upon him while he is near. My friends, he wants to be found. He is near in this moment, in this now, in this today. Now, it takes a lot of work to maintain this kind of intimate relationship with Christ. It is a moment by moment relationship. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So many people point to this and say, that's works righteousness. No, it's not. It's a matter of opening ourselves to accept what he is doing in our lives. That doesn't just happen. It requires a conscious decision on our part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you to will and to work for what? For his good pleasure. He wants to enjoy us. He wants to be with us. But we have to be willing to be with him in that moment, in that presence with him. Yes, it is the grace of God, but we must abide in him for that grace to be constant in our lives. It's a call to obedience in him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Oh, that's getting personal. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Let me give you an illustration. Okay. God gave me this huge piece of land. It's a gorgeous piece of land. It's got some nice meadow to it, a little rolling hill. There's trees. It's wonderful shady areas. There's a stream that runs through it. It's got wonderful fish, waterfowl. Heck, there's even a beaver and a groundhog down in there. The deer come out of the woods and they drink in the brook. It's just a wonderful piece of land. But I've noticed over time that when it rains, there are some places that get a little boggy. And so, being the intelligent individual that I be, I decided I'm going to put a French drain in. And that'll drain that water right off, and it'll go right into the creek. And I've got this wonderful little hand shovel that goes with my garden supplies, and I can dig this trench drain. Now, mind you, it's about 100 yards, but I can do this. It's important. So I began digging the French drain. And after 4 or 5 days, I've gone about 10 yards, and it rains. And all that dirt begins to wash back into that gully that I have created. So I start over again, and I begin to dig. My neighbor comes over and says, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm making this French drain. I'm going to put this in and explain the whole thing to him." And he says, "You realize God's got a backhoe right over here. He could do this job in half a day, and he could even line it with river rock, and it would be perfect. And you would have, yeah, but God might not do it the way I want it to be done. He could bring that backhoe. It might tear up some of the ground around it. I don't want God messing in this. He gave it to me. He trusted it to me. I can take care of it. I entreat you not to take the grace of God vain. Living moment by moment in Him means trusting Him, letting Him be the one in charge, letting Him be Lord of our lives, moment by moment, day by day, the now, the today. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Allowing God to be in charge of our lives, trusting Him to do what is going to be best, not only for us, but for all who are around us. Trusting that God has the big picture and the plan, and that He knows better what we need than we ourselves know. You are a recipient of God's grace. Do not accept the grace of God in vain. Live in Christ moment by moment. As I said before, today is the day of God's visitation. There has never been a more important moment than now. Now, today, in Christ. That's where we are, and time and eternity intersect in this moment. So let us know and accept the grace of God, for we are in Christ, and we are a new creation in Him. Amen.